talking about our matchless savior this morning. I don't know about you, but if I seem to get excited up here, that's okay. I'm fine. Because when I talk about Jesus, the blood gets pumping, and I'm excited. In Washington, D.C., anybody been to Washington, D.C.? You been to the Museum of Natural History? You saw the Hope Diamond? Is it still there, I wonder? It's vivid, dark blue diamond, and it weighs 45.52 carats. Now, if anybody wears a wedding ring, there's probably only like maybe 6-8 carats, maybe. But this weighs 45.2 carats. And according to geologists, it is a diamond without equal in the world. There's nothing like it. It was found in the 1600s, so that's way before my time and your time. And it weighed over, at the time, 112 carats when it was dug from the earth in India. It is considered to be priceless, and I can understand that. It is said to be a matchless diamond. There's nothing compares to this diamond. However, there may be another larger, more valuable stone lying buried in the ground. Who's to say? But right now, the Hope Diamond is matchless, is to presume the unknown. The truth is, nothing in this world is matchless. Everything can be equaled or bettered by mankind. I mean, just take what we can do today. They can clone, they have methods now of cloning certain things. I don't know if two around what like me now would be healthy. However, there is one only, who will never be equaled or bettered. He outweighs, he outshines, he outdoes everything with this Hope Diamond. And his name is Jesus. Even his name is matchless. It's precious when you say the word Jesus. You just got to whisper that name and he's there. So this morning, we're going to take a few minutes and talk about our matchless Savior. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, you've given us many things on this earth, things that we find are worthless. We have insurance on things so that if they're lost, it can be replaced. But Lord, our greatest that we have is you. And you can never be replaced. You are the one and the only. You always were, you always are, and you always will be. And this morning, Lord, I ask that you would just touch this humble servant, Lord. As you saw this morning, the old devil was trying to get me not to preach this message. But he's going to hear it anyway. And Lord, I ask that you just touch the lips and give me words from on high. I'm just a broken vessel stood before you this morning. And may it touch someone's heart, Lord. May we fully realize how much you are worth to us. And that you are priceless. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why do we say Jesus is our matchless Savior? There is even a hymn I've sang over the years. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, greater far than all my sin and shame. Matchless. Seems like a small word. It's only 7 letters. 8 letters. But for starters, he is matchless in his beginnings. To say that Jesus had a beginning is an untruth, for he always existed. Every one of us here this morning had a time of beginning, didn't we? Right? We all got our birth dates. Mine is in December. Ron's is in October. So I found out this morning. My brother's is in August. In a couple of months, I got to dish out something for his birthday. Everybody has a time of beginning. We began at the moment of conception. And I can't get started on that particular topic because I'll be all day. Life begins at conception, not when the baby is born. I move on now, Alice. Jesus, however, had no beginning. It is told to us in John chapter 1, verse 3, John says he always existed and he always will. He was there before there was even a world to form. Genesis 1:1. In the prophecies of his birth, he is referred to as the everlasting father. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And in Revelation chapter 1:11, he says that he is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is matchless in that he has always been here, he always is here, and he always will be here. Another way he is matchless. He's matchless in his birth. Now, we all know the birth process, so we don't need to get into that. Jesus stands unique among all the humans who have ever been born. He is the only and will only be the only one who came into this world born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14, Matthew 1, verses 18 to 23. We can look up these verses. Even Mary herself was amazed at the plan of God. In Luke chapter 1, verse 34. Science, I have to laugh at them. Science calls it a myth. Others say it is a foolish doctrine. So we were talking about scoffers, weren't we, in Sabbath school? I say, let God be true and every other opinion be a lie. Amen? Jesus was born just like the Bible said he was. He was conceived by the Spirit of God, born of a virgin. He is all the scriptures say he is, and he is more than qualified to be our Savior today. Another way, he is matchless in his blessedness. Jesus is like no other in that he is the sinless Son of God. They tried everything. The Pharisees tried everything, didn't they? Even when he was on the cross, they tried everything. Even the thief said, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross, save yourself. Now, had he done that, we wouldn't be here today. He is the sinless Son of God. He was born into this world without sin. Unlike us, we were born and we were shaped in iniquity. And he lived his life without sin. Imagine, without sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 22, 2 Corinthians 5, 21, Hebrews 4, 15, and 1 John 3, 5. A sinful person could never have paid the sin debt for this world. Could you or I have paid this sin debt? I don't think I would want to die for the sins of somebody else. I mean, first thing we say, well, that's not my fault. I hear that a lot these days. That's not my fault. Oh, I didn't do that. As sinners, every one of us was already under the wrath of God and doomed to eternal death. But Jesus was pure, sinless, and when he gave up his life on a cross, an innocent person, Jesus Christ, had suffered the agony of death. Remember his words. In these last final moments, he looked at his father. He said, it is finished. It is finished. You and I were meant for that cross. He was pure and innocent. An innocent had suffered the agony of death. When the innocent man died for the guilty, God was satisfied. And he accepted the death of Jesus as payment for sin. I read your book, the book you had mentioned, Overcoming Through Jesus. Oh, an awesome book. You know, Jesus died for us. We don't have to go out and try to be good. We can never be good on our own. It's impossible. But through Jesus Christ and through his power, he enables us to let him live in us. He died for us. He took that heavy penalty for sin. Just imagine if we had to hang on that cross. He's matchless. He died for sin. I just mentioned the fact that he died for us, took our sins upon the cross. However, I did not mention how he died, the method of his death. When Jesus died, it was not some antiseptic, easy death. He had no Aleve or Anaprox or fentanyl or any of those narcotic painkillers. It wasn't an easy death. He wasn't in palliative care, you know, where they had medications like my mom was and just slipped away quietly. But he died a brutal, difficult, and harsh death. Think about it. Jesus did what no other person could ever, ever have done. He went to the cross and he endured all that he did so he could save our soul. We're sinners. He was beaten. I'm just scared if somebody, I remember a number of years ago where I used to work for 33 years, I had someone coming up was going to give me a black eye because I was doing my job. Placed him with a receivership company, collection agency. I was scared. Just a thought. But he was beaten. Come back with me. Come picture in your mind's eye. Come back with me to Rome. He was beaten. He was spit upon. Did you ever have someone spit upon you? Had his beard. Ronnie had his beard. Beard like yours, probably. Plucked out. I just hauled out a hair out of my head. Oh, that hurt. Had it plucked out, probably in handfuls, from his face. Whipped. Whipped. Now, let me tell you something about a Roman whip. Now, this is going to... I don't pull no punches when I describe what Jesus endured. A Roman whip is not like the type of whip you might use when you're out riding on a horse. No. It's not the type of whip maybe our moms and dads had sometimes to give us a little crack on the behind when we were bad. No. It was the type of whip, it was leather, it had nails, it had pieces of glass in it, it had pieces of stone in it, and every time that whip went back by that man who was doing the whipping, and it hit hard, it cut. It tore flesh. Think about it. For a minute. And then, after that wasn't enough, they mocked him. And then, he had to carry that big, heavy piece of wood, the cross. Now, I think a piece of 2x4 is heavy when I help build sometimes. But I can't imagine how heavy and thick that wood was. And here was something that came from something he created, the tree, that he knew would be formed into the old rugged cross he was going to hang on. Now that wood is not finished.
Wood.
They didn't have no nice finishing saws to finish the wood. Like we have the wood here. It's nice and finished. It's all smooth and plain. No, no, no. No. That was as rugged could get. And he was laid on that cross. His back was sore from the brutal beating he had and bleeding. And now he's being pushed up against this cross. And that's really aggravating his back. And then On top of all of that, they took three old nails, probably old rusty nails. They weren't galvanized nails like we get at Kent's. No, they were great big old spikes. I often wonder if they were like the spikes they used in the railroad. Thick. Each one. This hand. Then this hand. And then put the 2 feet together. And they hammered that in. And then he was suspended between heaven and earth to die the death of a villain. What love is that? What love is that he's done for us, for this whole world? And let me tell you, that's not easy being up there because you got gravity that's pulling him down. So he's being weighed down. And everything is breaking down in the body. It took the sinless Lamb of God nailed to this cross, taking our sins and my sins and your sins upon him so we could be saved. His death was a matchless death. It did not compare to what the thieves on the cross next to him went through. Because on top of all the Romans did to him, he also had the weight of the world on his shoulders. What a weight that is. I carried a few bolts of fabric the other day on my shoulder, and I thought that was heavy, and I couldn't help but think how heavy the shoulders of Christ was on that cross with our weight of sin. He looked down through time. He saw babies being killed at the health science. He saw fathers leaving their children, didn't want nothing to do with them. He saw mothers. And he saw families broken, broken. He's seen all kinds of things. He saw war. His death was a matchless death. There's no other and never will be no other death like it. Jesus Christ is matchless in his promise to save us. Again, whoever will and can come to Jesus will be saved from their sins. All we have to do, he saved us already. We have to come and accept what he has done. Confess what he has done. Confess that he is Lord and Savior. Ask him into our lives. Every day, we are supposed to die to self daily. It does not require a lot of effort. It don't require a master's degree from the university. It requires just a smidgen, not even that much of faith. Just a faith the size of a mustard seed. As we're told in Acts 16:31 and John 3:16, we all know that verse. God's salvation carries with it an ironclad guarantee. Now, we get a lot of guarantees, don't we? We buy appliances. Oh, okay, this is guaranteed for a year. That's usually when it goes, after the year. We have guarantees, some of us, on our cars. We have extended warranty. But God's guarantee is ironclad. It's been signed, sealed, delivered. He promised us to save to the uttermost all those who come to him, Hebrews 7:25. Jesus is also matchless in his promise to support us. He never saved us to leave us. He didn't go to the cross just so we could find our own way in the world. Oh, no, no, no. He promised to guide us, to go with us all the way. Hebrews 13:5 and Matthew 28:20. Our wonderful Lord has promised to guide us through all of life. Now, you know, sometimes we are walking along the path and we kind of get off the beaten path ourselves, don't we? We kind of sometimes fall off the proverbial bandwagon, but he's right there waiting. for us to ask him to help get us back up on. Promise to meet our needs as we journey through life, Philippians 4:19, with us, leaning on these everlasting arms. Now, my arms get tired sometimes, and I'll drop stuff, but God's arms are never tired. They're everlasting. They're strong. And he has promised to receive us into heaven. Oh, when that trumpet sounds on resurrection morning. He will always be there. He's even coming for us. We're going with him. He's coming to get us. He's not going to leave us to find our way up there. No. He's coming to get us. He'll always be there for you and me and what you need him to be when you need him to be it. He is still the I am of the burning bush. He is matchless in his promise to see us safely home. I don't mean our earthly home. I mean our heavenly home. Jesus never saved anyone that he was willing to lose along the way. He will fight for us. He's not willing that any should perish. And his promise is that we will arrive home with him when the journey of life is concluded. Every saved individual is secure in Jesus. We are as sure of heaven as we were already there today. I just want to turn. Let's turn to John chapter 14. This is my mom's favorite verse. This was read at her funeral. And I believe this with all my heart. I believe everything between these black covers with all my heart. And the people want to go scoffing about it all. Well, that's their problem. As we said, because Ellen White tells us it's just leading them to their own destruction. But you know, God died for them. So we've got to let them know that. But Jesus says in his own words, chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, and this is his promise. He's telling us, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. Don't be frightened of what's going on in the world. I comes home every day and I says to Will, never heard no news at work. So Will, what's going on in the world today? Has the Sunday log come in yet? What's going on? I'm not afraid anymore. Because Jesus is with us. He's with me. He's with you. And what's the worst they can do to us? They did to him. They can torture us. Well, Jesus went through that, didn't he? Then they can even kill us. They can shoot us. But I know. I've read the end of the book. I know where we're going. He says, don't be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You can't get any better promise than that. He's proved his word. I've proved his word over and over, especially in the past 4 years. There is no doubt in my mind. And one of these days, if I'm still alive when the Lord goes to come, one of these days, I'm sure there's someone going to ask me, do you believe in God? Would you renounce the Sabbath day? And I'm going to stand up and I'm going to sing, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. And I ask God every day to give me that strength to do that. It's coming, folks. The time, we're almost home. Don't give in now. Hold fast to Jesus Christ. Jesus is matchless in his promise to see us safely home. What a savior. We may not live to see another birthday. I don't know. God has appointed the time for my coming in this world. He's appointed it for when I'm going out. He's taking care of everything in between. I don't know. I don't want to know. And I may not live to see the end of December. I don't know. I might not live for another 3 years so I can enjoy being 60. But I can sure, and you can be sure of one thing. We are living for him. We are going home to that beautiful city, the New Jerusalem, where he's got a mansion prepared for us. And then when she comes down from heaven after the 1,000 years. And then the Bible tells us we're going to build our own homes. I can't even picture what kind of home. We're going to have two homes. I'm finally going to give my country home. I'm going to have a city home made of gold. Then I'm going to have my country home. There's going to be fruit that's not bruised. No more bruised bananas. Although I eat them anyway. They're great banana bread. All kinds of fruit. Costco hasn't even seen the fruit that the Lord has for us. And I'm going to see my mom, my dad. We're going to see our loved ones. And then we're going to all gather together. We're going to join hands. And we're going to walk down those streets of gold. I'm going to take our crowns. I'm going to lay them at Jesus' feet, our matchless, matchless Savior. And we're going to worship him every Sabbath. Oh, we're going to keep Sabbath in heaven. Don't you think you're getting off with this? We're keeping Sabbath in heaven every Sabbath. No matter where we are, we're going to gather and crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's promised to see us safely home. What a Savior. We can count on God to keep his word. If he has promised it, it will come to pass. He will see to it. Just look at the lives of Abraham, Moses, Israel, who we know was Jacob, Noah, David. And what greater sinner was in the Bible than David? Or Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They were told by Nebuchadnezzar they would be put into the hot, burning, fiery furnace if they didn't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's statue. And they looked and they said, no, we trust God. And what happened? There was a fourth man and three went in. But old Nebuchadnezzar saw four people in the fire, and that was Jesus Christ himself. You see, when we get into the fire, Satan's fire, Jesus himself comes to take care of us. He'll do what he says he'll do. He'll take us care of us here and now, and he will deliver us safely home to heaven one of these beautiful, beautiful mornings. He's matchless in his power over sin. You know, sin is a powerful thing. It can arrest a person. It can shackle a person's life to the degree that they are totally in its hideous power. Look at men like Samson. He was destroyed by the power of sin. The power of sin took a man like David to the depths of depravity and had him doing things David probably never thought he would ever do. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then on top of all of that, he murdered her husband, so he could cover up his sin. I never have, and that includes myself, met a person who could handle sin. It's more powerful than you and I will ever be. It will defeat us, and it will destroy our lives. Now, you might think, Satan, you know, you follow Satan, you're going to have all of this glory and power and wealth, but let me tell you something. The book of Revelation says that 1 hour with the beast and everything will be gone. All the rich will lose everything. Satan will make it look nice and pretty, sugar-coated. It looks like a beautiful cake. And then all of a sudden, it's gone. It will take from us everything you hold as precious and leave you with nothing but pieces of shattered and broken life. However, loves that word, however, praise the Lord, there is more. While we are powerless to handle the sin within ourselves, Jesus is more than ample for the task. He has the power to break the chains of sin that bind us, and he can set us free so that we can serve him. I can assure you that Jesus has the power to rise above the sin that has you bound today. He has that power. Not only is there power over sin's power, but there is also power in Jesus over sin's penalty. Romans 6:23 says, according to this verse, the wages of sin is death. To everyone who has not confessed their sin to Christ and asked his forgiveness, they will pay the ultimate price for being forever separated from Almighty God. Jesus has the power to change the sinner's destiny. No other plan formulated by any man or group can deal with the sin problem on this earth other than the gospel of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. God's plan is the only plan that has ever or will ever work to save man's soul. He has the power to deliver men and to change their lives forever. He is matchless in his power over Satan. You know, Satan is a powerful enemy. Now I got to give that old creature his due, I suppose. He's deceptive. He's good at that. He's good at being delusive. He's smart. He's good at being hateful. But you know something? He's more than a match for you and me. We can't handle him. But Jesus Christ can. And he did. And he handled him very, 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 very well. Satan has his head under the heel of Christ. Now, Satan still thrashes about, causing trouble for everyone, because, you see, he knows he's soon going to be gone. He's soon going to have nothing else to do. But he is a defeated foe this morning. We don't have to worry about him. I told you that earlier. Don't have to worry about Satan. Be on your guard. Beware, because he's like a roaring lion going about to and fro. He tried it this morning with me. When Jesus died at the cross of Calvary, he bruised Satan's head. He is defeated foe. We must be wary of him. Yes, we must be aware of him, because he loves nothing more than hurting those who belong to the Lord. So, however, while he's still active, he has been defeated, and we are told in Revelation chapter 20:10 what his fate is. He will be bound 1,000 years. He's going to be drove nuts. God's going to drive him nuts, let's put it that way, because he's not going to have no one to tempt. And then after 1,000 years, the city comes down, and we as the saints in that beautiful city, we see why everything with sin has now to be destroyed. Satan will be destroyed. God will rain fire. And finally, death and hell is gone forever. When Jesus comes on the scene, let me tell you, Satan does a 1,000-yard dash in about 2 seconds. Amen? And Jesus has matchless power over life situations. Regardless of what tragedies, difficulties, hardships we all face, and we will all face them, no matter what they are, or trying times, as we go through life, we need to remember that Jesus is able to handle each and everything we run into, everything. He has the power to meet needs. He has the power to heal your body. He has the power to heal the past. He has the power to calm the storms of life. He has the power to comfort the hurt. He has the power to soothe the emotions. And he has the power to move mountains. Ephesians chapter 3:20 tells us and promises that Jesus is able. He's been through everything. He knows exactly what we're going through. And we're caught in the middle of this great controversy, the fight between him and Satan. Nothing is too big for God. Don't put God in a box saying, you can't handle this. This is something I got to work for myself. When you find you're in a situation, don't try and do it all by yourself and then finally give up and say, well, I better go ask God now. Don't put yourself through that stress. It's not worth it. You take it to the cross. Take it to the one who loves. He's caring for us. He's walking with us. Take it to Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I'm in this situation, whatever it may be. I cannot handle this, but I know you can. So, Lord, I'm handling it over to you. You show me what to do, where to go, and I'll trust in you. And if you need more faith, ask him for that too, because he will give it to you. God can handle and move any mountain that you will trust him with. He is still the master of the wind and waves. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And as we are in these final days, things will continue to get worse. We need to hold on. I can't stress that enough. Hold on to Jesus Christ. We have to learn now how to hold on. Build our faith in him. When the very hard, hard time of trial comes, we can take our stand. In closing this morning, there's a lot more could be told about our matchless Savior, but I believe enough has been said already to let you see that he is incomparable. Remember the showdown at Mount Carmel between the gods of Baal and the true God Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty. You know, folks, I don't know what you might need in your life today or tomorrow or down the road or between the next time that I might see you. I don't know what's going to happen with my family or me in the next hour, not alone the next few days. I don't know where we are all spiritually, but I do know who we all need this morning. And no matter what it is we face in life, we need Jesus Christ, whether it's soul salvation or victory over some besetting sin or a deep dark valley or a time of distress and worry, we can trust Jesus to meet that need. All he asks from us is that we come to him by faith and trust him to take care of the situation. And when you bring it, that situation, stop worrying about it. Worrying does, it deprives you of your happiness for that moment. And I know the Bible says worrying is a sin. We should not worry. Take it to him. He'll take care of all your situations. And in the end, he'll get us home, safe and sound, so we can worship him. Father in heaven, how matchless, wonderful, and great thou art, the only holy Father, the only God. Lord, we thank you for this blessing. And now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God who will bring us safe to his glorious presence, innocent and happy, to God, the only God, the great God, who saves us through Jesus Christ our Lord, be the glory, majesty, authority, and power which he had before time began, now and forevermore. Amen.